Yesterday when we spoke about steadfastness, and we said that Hazrat also spoke about another quality that is very important, and that is Zuhud. Zuhud means abstention, to abstain. In Ihya'ul Ulum, it is written there, لَيْسَ الزُّهُدُ فَقْدُ الْمَالِ. Abstention doesn't mean you must lose your wealth. إِنَّمَا الزُّهُدُ فَرَاهُ الْقَلْبِ مِنْهُ. Zuhud means your heart must be free of its love. So you got all the money of the world, but that money of the world has not got into your heart. Your heart is free from that. إِنَّمَا الزُّهُدُ فَرَاغُ الْقَلْبِ مِنْهُ. وَقَدْ كَانَ سُلَيْمَانَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فِي مُلْكِهِ مِنَ الزُّهَادِ. And Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, he was the king of the whole world. But can we say he was not a Zahid because he owned the whole world? Absolutely he was Zahid. He was a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. It means that the love of the world did not go into his heart. It did not penetrate, even though he is the owner of the whole world. Shah Wasullah says, apna maal apne jeb mein rakho. Keep your money in your pocket. Dil mein mat rakho. Don't put it in your heart. So from this we can deduce that the Shariat is not telling us to relinquish our wealth. But Shariat is telling us how to earn it and how to spend it. That's why Shariat, such a beautiful Sharia, not depriving us in any way. Hazrat says, Al-malu fil yad yajuz. To keep your wealth in your hand, in your possession, that's permissible. Al-malu fil sanduq yajuz. To keep it in your tijori, in your box. Now they say under your palang. Under your bed, yajuz, it is permissible. Walmalu fil qalbi la yajuz. But to keep your wealth in your heart, that is not permissible. And what we can deduce from this? If nubuwat, jab nubuwat ke saath maal ho sakta hai. Imagine Nabi of Allah, Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah is not depriving him of maal. He's the king of the whole world. If nubuwat and maal can go together, to aur logo ke samne kyu jama nahi ho sakta? So from people who are not anbiya, why can't be connected to them also? What's wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. Right? Fi nafsi, it is a ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala has blessed a person with wealth, then be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. Lekin, aisi muhabbat ke Allah ko bula de, ye jaiz nahi. But such muhabbat for the wealth of the world that makes one forgetful of Allah. Now we've come into the category of it becoming impermissible. Because it's making one neglectful, depriving one of remembering Allah Ta'ala, and it's taking a person not towards Allah Ta'ala but away from Allah Ta'ala. Not towards good deeds, but towards bad deeds. So then it's not jais. Then it's not right. Muhabbat had ke andar. If you only have muhabbat for maal, it's fine. But within the framework of the Sharia. Within the framework of the Sharia. Hamari Shariat maal ko churate nahi. People think that the ulama maulanas will condemn the dunya and tell you sit whole day in the masjid and make faqa ki zindagi. He says, our Sharia doesn't say that. Samajh mein aayi baat? Ashar maal ko churate nahi hai. Then tell you to relinquish your wealth. Sab kuch kar lo. Do whatever you want. Lekin deen ko tarjeeh hai do. Give preference to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And Hazrat made a gesture that your maal must be here and the deen must be on top. Deen must be on top, your maal must be at the bottom. Not your maal is on top and deen at the bottom. Then we got it ulta. We got it upside down. You see? And I always say, I'll add from my side something. A person will only enjoy his wealth if he has deen. If he has deen, then Allah Ta'ala will give him happiness, Allah will give him surur, Allah will give him hayatun tayyiba. So he'll give him everything because he's got deen, not only wealth. He's not chasing only after the wealth of the world, but he's chasing after the akhirat. So Allah will make his rosy also easy for him. Allah Ta'ala will give him surur in his house. My Shaykh Maulana Abu Asaf Rahmatullah Alayhi said, I traveled the whole world. I went into so many people's houses. I visited so many people. The only people that were really happy were those people that had deen in their house. If they had deen in their house, they were happy. And sometimes they have all the money of the world, but there's no happiness in the house. Why there's no happiness? Because the real ingredient is missing, and that is deen. If there's no deen in the house, you can never get hayatun tayyiba, no chance. You can have all the money in the world. Sahibaji, it will not bring peace. But when there's deen in the house, and that is asal, and Allah has given wealth also, then you will find that those houses where deen is alive, you will find that, alhamdulillah, those families are happy. So Hazrat says, deen ko muqaddam rakho. Keep deen above. That's why the Quran Sharif also says, wal akhiratu khair wa abqa. Dunya is also important, but akhirat is better. It's khair. It's much better. Afalu tafzeel sara. Comparatively, you can't compare. Afalu tafzeel comes from comparison, khair. Compared to the dunya, the akhirat is asal. Wa abqa. And abqa means everlasting, forever and ever. And this world, our money will only benefit us till our eyes are opened. The day the eyes close, not once all our money we left not going to benefit us anything. So it will be only mahdood till our eyes are opened. And then, if you go in the akhirat, it's an everlasting journey. What preparation we made for that journey. You see? So therefore, give preference to deen. Deen ko muqaddam rakho. Keep it above. Dunya must also be there, but deen must be above. Now, in the majlis, Hazrat made a gesture. He said, deen yaha or dunya yaha. Samajh mein aayi baat hai. Then the tartib is right. But if you got deen, dunya here on top, and you got deen at the bottom, you got it upside down. You're not applying your mind properly. And he says that maal is not a bad thing. That's why it is said, نِعْمَ الْمَالِ لِلْرَجُلُ الصَّالِحِ لِلْرَجُلِ الصَّالِحِ. Very good wealth is for a pious person. So he says, see, maal and piety is going together. There's nothing wrong with that. So that's why we must make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, deen ke saath dunya bhi ata farma de. Or Allah Ta'ala, dunya ke saath deen bhi ata farma de. Allah Ta'ala, with deen, must give us dunya also. And with dunya, he must give us deen also. And Allah Ta'ala must bring our lives in conformity with the Sharia. Have nice food, have nice car. Nothing wrong with that. Somebody, don't waste money. Allah has given ni'mat. Apply it properly. So many people that are suffering in the world. They don't have food. Thousands of people have become refugees. They don't have food. They don't have clothing. They don't have nothing. Use your money wisely. Spend on Allah's makhluk for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Feed the hungry. When people go into Jahannam, one of the reasons they will ask, مَا صَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ What took you to Jahannam? What answer they going to give? قَالُوا They say, لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ We are not reading Salah. That's how we ended up in Jahannam. وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطَعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ And we weren't feeding the poor. So that's also a reason the Quran says why they ended up in Jahannam. Only worry about yourself. Nafsi, nafsi, nafsi. Only worry about myself all the time. So what about Allah's makhluk that are not so fortunate like you? So we building and we spending and we doing this and we doing that. I look at Allah's makhluk. What's more important for your akhirat? So keep the balance right. So don't only be selfish. Don't only look at your own self. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like selfish people that only worried about their own things, what are benefit to them. But real people, they worry about everybody else. They don't only worry about themselves. That's real people. So Allah Ta'ala give us fahm salim. Amen. And one poem I heard from one of my ustads, can't remember exactly which ustad. He says, what is the difference between a kafir and a mu'min? So they have shown the difference in this poem. And what is the poem? The poem says, kafir ki pehchan hai ke gum hai wo afaq mein. That the sign of a kafir, he is lost in this world. The world has captured him to such a degree, his brain can't function. He thinks the world is everything. For him, this is Jannat. He'll fight for the world. He'll kill for the world. Whatever it takes for the world, he'll do it. Look at the colonialist mindset. What have they not done to Allah's makhluk? They have made people into slaves. They went into those countries. They raped those countries of all its mineral wealth. They enslaved the mass population of those countries. Why are they doing all that? Then they got their bases all over. Said, we got our interests there. What's your interest? Your interest to go steal from all those other people so that they can remain poor forever, and we in Europe and all over, we can benefit. Like what was happening from West Africa. They were taking out the raw material to make batteries, the lithium. But from those countries, West Africa, Burkina Faso, and all those countries, they were taking it. In the meantime, those countries were so poor. And all that, the streets of Paris are being lit up with the lithium of these countries where they are living in darkness. And they're giving them a pittance for the raw materials. Why are they doing all that? Because the kafir, for him, this dunya is everything. You see, for him it is everything. Wo gum hai afaq mein. So my kafir ke pehchan hai ke afaq mein wo gum hai. He's lost in the world. You know, when I was studying, then there's a place in India called Goa. It's on the coastal area. You will find people come there from the whole of Europe. They come there. Hippies. Right? They come there for months and months. And they just get drugged up and they sleep on those beaches and in those guest houses for months and months. They stay there. Lost cause. And if you really go to see who are those people, it's not like the people that came off the streets of Europe. They are not. They are parliamentary. Their fathers are in the parliaments of those countries of Europe. Their children are so lost. They're like vagabonds. They are in the streets of Goa and you'll see them. They look like a mess. They look like they have lost their mind. They have no direction which way to go. Until today, there's a place there in the back. So only Russians, you will find them. They're living in the backwaters of the Goan area. And they'll stay there. They just live filthy, dirty. They have no direction. Then they stay for 6 months also, because very cheap for them. And then after that, when they go back to Europe. They just come because they have no direction in their life. You see? So when you think, when you look at that and you say, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha. All praises are due to Allah Ta'ala that He has given us guidance on this path. This is the correct path. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha. Wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. If Allah never gave us guidance, where would we have been? This was the barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has given us this guidance.
So we need to cherish this ta'aleem of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? So what the poet says, he says that kafir ki pehchan hai ke wo afaq mein gum hai aur mu'min ki pehchan ye hai ke afaq usme gum hai. And the pehchan of a mu'min is the world is lost in him. He cares a damn about the world, because his vision is not on the world. He's never been on the world. We don't want to stay here forever. Since when we going to stay here forever? So what our vision must be here? That's a very nice, beautiful, yeah, mashallah, very nice. But that's it, khalas, move on. Move on. Don't put it in your heart. A mu'min ki pehchan. A true mu'min ki pehchan ye hai ke afaq usme gum hai. The whole world is lost. Some Ahlullah people bring money to them, say, take your money away. What I want to do with your money? I don't need your money. But I said, I want to give you. He said, no, don't give me. Because now you're putting stress on my head, because now I need to start distributing all this. So that's all pressure on my head. You will keep it. Now who's thinking like that? That person whose eyes is never on this world. His eyes is far ahead of this world. I want that everlasting wal akhiratu khayrun wa abqa. The akhirat is what we are desiring, isn't it? Right? So keep your vision on akhirat. Keep your vision on Allah Ta'ala. Keep your vision on Ba'ath Ba'd al-Mawt. What is the enjoyment of this dunya? For how long are we going to enjoy? 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, if we're lucky. That's it. And then what? And hisab will come. This is Darul Amal, this. This is Darul Amal where we're living in. This is a chance to make Amal. Once we die and we leave this dunya, then we are muhtaj of one subhanAllah. Once we go in our qabr, we become muhtaj of one subhanAllah. There's nobody going to say that subhanAllah for you. You have to say it yourself. You have to say it now. SubhanAllah. From the depth of your heart. But once you go in the qabr, you're muhtaj. Now you're looking to your children. Are they going to do something for me? Are they going to send for me? Yeah, do I have a friend? He maybe thought about me. He read for me something. We become muhtaj of one subhanAllah once the eyes close. Can you imagine? And in this world, Allahu Akbar. How much time we waste? You'll see in the next majlis what Hazrat says. How much time we wasting? Sahibat, that we akhirat we muhtaj. So therefore, the mu'min's vision is never on the dunya. The mu'min's vision is on the akhirat. Sahibat, so that's why we go to the Ahlullah, for the same reason. So that our focus becomes the correct focus, our mindset becomes the correct mindset, our goals become the correct goals, our understanding and fahim becomes mature. Understand that we get proper direction and we get proper guidance. But the beauty of our Shariat is it doesn't tell you to relinquish the dunya, but it shows you how to maneuver so that in such a way that you don't compromise your akhirat. That's our Shariat. That's how beautiful it is. So keeping that in mind, that was a little bit that got left from yesterday's majlis that was still balanced, Sanat, regarding the quality of zuhud. So Allah give us proper zuhud. Yeah. So don't let the love of the dunya come into the heart. Don't ever let that happen. Allah Ta'ala save us from that. Sanat, the heart should be focused towards the akhirat. So yes, our hands, everything is here. And the example the Masha'i give, like a person driving the car. He may be talking to somebody. He may be even saying, pass me water, pass me food, pass me chips, pass me samosa, pass me this. Where is his focus as a driver? His focus is not on all those things. All that is carrying on, but his focus was on the road. He's the driver of the car. So if your focus is on akhirah, all these things are just by the way, you know what I mean? It's just by the way. That's not the asal. The asal is we have to meet Allah Ta'ala. Imagine what an honor to meet Allah Ta'ala. Go with Iman from this world. Go with A'mal Saliha from this world. And we look forward to the journey. Sanaji, Allah Ta'ala, we are also waiting to meet you. Sanaji, you are our Khaliq. We are Makhluq. Sanaji, you are our Ma'bud. We are Abid. You are the Masjood. We are Sajid. Sanaji, we haven't seen you, Ya Rabb. Sanaji, we also want to see you. Sanaji, so you look forward to that meeting. Allah Ta'ala. Man ahabba liqa Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa. That person that loves to meet Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala loves to meet him. وَمَنْ كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ كَرِهَ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَ. And that person that is not happy to meet Allah, Allah also don't want to meet him. You see? So we have to do such nek amal in the world. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. خَيْرٌ أَمَلًا means when you do good deeds, it increases you in your hope. Your hope also increases. Like a person in examination. You will write a paper tomorrow, but you're not just start studying. You're studying for months now, right? But you're getting prepared for that examination. So you have more hope to do well in the examination for that one fellow that's cramming from that night before. The fellow cramming from the night before, it's touch and go. It's just a touch and go. He may get it right, he may get it wrong. So I was going for my driving license. One fellow told me, you don't need to see any book, nothing. I said, they'll give you multiple choices, you must just tick there. So I listened to that like a fool and I went and failed. You see, so the first time I went and failed learner's license because I never studied. The fellow said, you just go there, sir, and they'll give you a choice A, B, C, you must just take which one. So I went inside and I plugged that thing. You see, so that's what happens. So you can't just cram up from the night before and expect to get it right. At least read the book one time to make sure you know what's the signs and you know what is where you must turn, what is where and what is what. You see. So therefore, this is a long journey that's ahead of us. Allah Ta'ala put the love of the Akhirah into the heart and give us the tawfiq of Nek Amal so that we have the umid in the Zat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah, I tried my best. So I know it's weak, but at least I've done a little bit. Allah, you accept it through your father and Quran music. So that was Hazrat. So Zuhud is not, and then what Khamr Zamasab said, Shah Wasulah should speak on Mazameen like this. And that's why people used to love him also. He said, look at this Maulvi, he's not telling us to leave our khet, he's not telling us to leave our kalyan, our businesses. This Maulvi is encouraging us, carry on with all those things. He's not stopping us from all this, yeah? He said, most people, they're condemning left, right and center, but this Maulvi is not condemning, he's showing us how to do it right. You see, yes, we will condemn if the dunya becomes so hard over a person that no namaz now, no nothing, is that yes? Grinding out 6 days, some people are even working up to 7 days a week. 7 days a week. So when do you rest? Your body also has a right over you. Your family also has a right over you. When are you going to actually spend some time with your children? I know when we were studying, there's one train that travels from Surat to Bombay. It's called the Flying Rani. Now that train, it leaves at 5 o'clock in the morning from Surat station, and it reaches Bombay at 10 o'clock. So people living in Surat, they catch the Flying Rani at 5 in the morning. Sometimes we used to use it as students also going to Bombay, if you want to go to the embassy or whatever. So that reaches at the time when the offices open. Bombay, the offices open late, around 10 o'clock. They don't open 8 o'clock. So you catch the train at 5 in the morning. It reaches there at 10 in Bombay. And then in the evening, they catch the train at 5 again. And it reaches Surat at 10 again. That means in a day, the man spent 10 hours in the train. When he left his house, his children were sleeping. When he came back home, his children are sleeping. The only time he'll see his children is on a weekend. There are so many thousands of people having a life like that. They work so hard for their rozi that they are deprived even to see their children, spend a day with them. Only probably one day in the week they spend with their children. Is that a life, or is that a dog's life? That you don't have time for yourself, you don't have time for your own ibadat, you don't have time for your own children. What are you chasing? Slow down, think about what am I doing? So I've seen it myself. We used to catch that train, it's called the Flying Rani, it's still running, I believe. It used to be a double decker. I have a double-decker train, downstairs and top. So, Hazrat says, Shah Wasullah, people used to like him. Because Ese Mazameen was telling that he don't condemn the dunya and say, get rid of everything, but he changed your direction in how we must live our life and in which direction he needs to go. So, last night's majlis, Hazrat quoted a riwayat of Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It's a riwayat, Hadith-e-Qudsi. Hadith-e-Qudsi is that hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that Allah ta'ala said. So he's not saying from him, qala Rasulullah, he says, qala Allah. Allah ta'ala. Now this hadith of Qudsi is generally given a higher significance, somehow because he's attributing it directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu qad, sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yaqulu, he said, I heard Allah ta'ala saying, samajh mein aaye baaji, He says, what Allah Ta'ala said,
وَجَبَتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَحَابِينَ فِيَّ.
My muhabbat is wajib for those that love one another because of me. Those that show muhabbat to one another because of me, my muhabbat is wajib for that person, for those people. وَالْمُتَجَالِسِينَ فِيَّ. And those people that sit in majlis because of me, they sit with one another, or they sit in majlis, then they're sitting with one another because of me. وَالْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِيَّ. And also they are making ziyarat, visiting one another because of me. Going to be visiting your family, your father, your mother, your brother, your family, your friends, just because of me, to keep the taluk, sahibaji, with one another. وَالْمُتَبَادِلِينَ فِيَّ. And those people that are spending, they're even giving gifts to one another because of me. Not doing it because of ulterior motives, because they love that person for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So they gift one another also. That's also, the Hadith Sharif says, when you gift one another, increases muhabbat. You see, now if you got one friend, the enemy, start sending him some gifts, then Allah Ta'ala will remove that animosity from his heart. Slowly, slowly, it'll come out. So once you start gifting, then that hatred comes out of the heart. Muhabbat, Allah Ta'ala changes it. So, مَا إِذَا تَحَادِيْتُمْ تَحَبُّمْ تَحَبَبْتُمْ إِذَا تَحَادُوا تَحَادُوا تَحَابُوا. That if you give hadiah to one another, the muhabbat answer Allah Ta'ala will put into the heart. You understand? So some people, they only know how to receive, they don't know how to give. So it must be both ways. You must give also and you must receive also. So that's also a ta'aleem of our sharia. It comes in this hadith. وَفِي رِوَعَيَةِ التِّرْمِذِي الْمُتَحَابِينَ فِيَّ لَهُمْ مَنَابِرْ مِنْ نُورٍ. Those that have love for one another because of Allah Ta'ala, Allah will give them lofty members on the day of Qiyamah from Noor it's going to be made. And such a high maqam, يَغْبِتُ النَّبِيُّونَ وَالشُّهَدَى. That even the Nabis will envy them. And even the Shuhada will envy them. That they loved one another because of me. So when they see such a high maqam, they are members of Noor on the day of Qiyamah, even the Anbiya will become envious. Even the Shuhada will become envious. Hazrat said, going to the Majlis of Salihin, pious people, and to make dua there in the Majlis of pious people is mustahab, recommended in our Shariat. And then he says, when we start speaking about pious people, Allah ki rahmat barasti hai. Allah Ta'ala starts sending down His rahmah. So when we go to the majalis of the mashayikh, wherein they speak about pious servants of Allah Ta'ala, at that moment Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, just on speaking about pious people. So one is the sawab of speaking about pious people, and one is the sawab of sitting in the gathering. That's a separate sawab. Sitting in a gathering is separate, and speaking about the pious people, that is separate. Allah Ta'ala ke nazdeek in majalis ki bari waqt hai, bari qadar hai. And then imagine, they're only speaking about salihin, and they're only sitting in those gatherings. What about if they are salihin in that gathering itself, Hazrat says? That's compounded now. So many naked people get together. That's why when pious people get together, and a whole lot of them are pious, then you will find that they say there was a lot of ruhaniyat and buraniyat and kayfiyat in the majlis. That is because there's an ijtima of salihin in that gathering now. They are ulama, they are salihin, they are huffaz, they are people who perform tahajjud salah, people who make kasrat e zikr of Allah Ta'ala, all of them getting together in one place. How it enhances the nuraniyat of the gathering. You see, so you have, imagine, as I said, if the salihin that are present there, then how much more effective and how much more nur we will see. And then Allah Ta'ala, aise logo se khud muhabbat karne lagta hai. Then Allah starts loving such people. Allah Ta'ala will start loving them. And batore istishhad ke, Hazrat brought these ibarats, and he says this from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ فَارْتَعُوا. When you pass in the riyadh, in the gardens of Jannah,
Fardahu, then you must graze there. The hadith says, when you're passing in the gardens of Jannah, then you must graze. So Sahaba said, قَالُوا وَمَا رِيَاضُ الْجَنَّةِ Allah, we don't understand what is gardens of Jannah here in this world. What's garden of Jannah here? Sorry, but here the best gardens we saw was probably in Cape Town. So you have nice garden, then you have garden in Botanical Garden in Durban, then you have one garden in Cape Town, we went there under the Table Mountain, very nice garden. Now that's the gardens of the world. You understand that? But now Sahaba are sitting, where are they sitting? In the desert, in Saudi Arabia. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking to them, telling them, go in the gardens of Jannah. They can only see rocks and mountains. So they can't understand what he means by Riyadh al-Jannah. So then they ask him, Qalu, say Allah, ke Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do you mean by Riyadh al-Jannah? He said, Hila al-Zikr. The gatherings of the zikr of Allah. That's what I mean by Riyadh al-Jannah. The gatherings of Jannah is those gatherings in which the zikr of Allah Ta'ala is taking place. So he brought that one hadith as a dalil to prove the benefits of going in the majalis of zikr. And then he brings another hadith and he says, إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِجَمَاعَةٍ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ If you pass by a gathering where the zikr of Allah Ta'ala is taking place, then فَذْكُرُوهُ Then remember Allah Ta'ala. Why? مُوَافَقَةً لَهُمْ So you can join them, be part of them. You must make muwafaqat where the zikr of Allah Ta'ala is taking place. So from this we can see how much of fazilat it is to go into the majalis of zikr. And most of the people who go and become pious, Hazrat says, and they go to the majalis of zikr, is because from a young age, ke bachpane se, unka taluk kisi Allah wale se hua tha. From a young age they already had some sohbat by some Muslim. It became ingrained in them from a young age to go into the halqas of zikr, to go to the ahlullah, to go to the mashayikh, to make istifada from them. From a young age, they have been indoctrinated, and you will find historically, sorry, but from a young age, their fathers took them. Their father had taluk with Maulana Thanwi, or had taluk with Maulana Hussain Abad Madni. So the children also followed in that silsila. Or the father had taluk with Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, or whichever buzruq. Then the children also have taluk with that buzruq. As a, for example, Qari Ismail Sahib, our Ustaz Muhtaram passed away. Or Yunus Patel Sahib, we had taluk with him from a very young age. I remember as a student, when he was still a student in Targeshwar, right? I used to do some hifz by him. And Allahu Akbar, from that time he had so much muhabbat for Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib. From student days, he was ashiq of Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, rahmatullahi. Then he came back, he went into the sohbat of Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib. Now, if the children have seen that the father is going into the sohbat of mashayikh of them, why will the children not follow in the footsteps of their father? Today, alhamdulillah, all his four sons, they have taluk with some sheikh, but that's because of the father's effect on them. The father will leave that behind, the children will see it. And if you need to, father must take the children from a young age, so that, take them to the masjid, namaz time, don't go alone, time come, let's go. Because if from a young age the fellow was not going, then when he's grown up, he's not going to go. And the Sharia says that when he's 7 years old, you must start taking him. And by 10 years, if he doesn't go, give him a smack also and take him. So, but don't leave him. And don't say, Abhi Chota, he's still small, when he's grown up, he'll come right. No, he's not going to come right. If he's lazy for salat from the beginning, he's going to be lazy till the end. So from the young age, the Sharia has already told us that make sure you take your children. So when they after that to get up for Fajr, go Fajr, doesn't become hard for him. Imagine now at the age of 13, 14, he became baligh. All of a sudden you told him, let's go for Fajr salat. Where is he going to get up? Never going to get up. So, but if a young age, he was already had that in him, then when it's time for salah, he'll go for salah. Because they say, my father taught me from my young age. So there was a bit, see, I like to mix with also some old people because of their experiences, you see, of life. Youngsters, mashallah, we have friends also, youngsters. But youngsters, generally, the conversation is very boring, like, for me. I don't get any. Either they're talking about some car, some spec, some iPad, or they're talking about some fishing trip that they went. Okay,
okay, and we do a little bit fishing also, it's jais to you, as long as you're fishing for eating, not as a sport. Sanji, you can go. So, and then they speak about all that and all that. So that doesn't, you know, then all they speak about is football most of the time, as if they are earning some money from that. So the way they speak about this player and that player and this player, it's a waste of time. So, but it's of no benefit, zero benefit in this world. Qabr akhir is just a waste of time. So I get very bored. So then I met one old man, and I noticed that in his family, they all read salah. They never miss salah. Children, father, grandfather, all reading salah. So I asked him one day, can you tell me how come in your family that all of you are so pabund with namaz? The old people, the first generation, second generation, third generation, what is it? He said, you know, when we were growing up, our mother was so strict. She should say that I'll only give you food if you read salah. If you never read salah, you go hungry. You don't gonna get one plate of food from me if you never read your salah. That's how our mothers grew us up, on that basis. That's why it stayed with them their whole life. All the generations after that, they're all pabund of salah. You see, that's how effective it is. If you have to indoctrinate your children from a young age, it just stays with them for their whole life after that. So Hazrat passed, he says, وَإِذَا مَرَدْتُمْ بِجَمَاعَةٍ, he brings this hadith, when you pass by with the jama'at, يَسْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ, and they are remembering Allah Ta'ala, then فَذْكُرُوهُمْ وَافَقَةً لَهُمْ, you must also make zikr, say, coincide with them, join them, be with them. How much fazilat? And indoctrinate the children from a very young age. And then he gives nasihat. Ke umar ki qadar karo, waqf ki qadar. Appreciate your life. Appreciate your time. Ye bahut bari baat hai. It is a big thing if a person knows how valuable his time is and how valuable his life is. Bahut se log apna waqf zai karte hai. So many people, they're just wasting their life. Whole life just went past. Na deen ke kaam mein lage, na dunya ke kaam mein. They're not involved in any deeni khidmat or service or anything like that. And neither they're doing anything for their dunya also. The life is just going down the tube, just going down the drain. And my ustaz Adil Maulana Abrasa Rahmatullah Ali used to always lament this in India, because they had this mindset that our fathers and our families who are gone overseas, they're going to send money for us. So the youngsters, they don't want to do anything. They don't progress. Whole day they'll go around with their motorbikes. Then they're going to sit in all the barber shops and look how beautiful their hair is. So that's how their life is going. So Abu Abrasam, you say, those children are just wasting their lives. They're not getting proper education. Na deen ke kaam mein lage hain, na dunya ke kaam mein. It's just a waste of a life. Of no benefit. This is green. So Hazrat said, agar deen ke kaam mein nahi lage, if we're not going to get involved in activities of deen, to kam az kam dunya ke kaam mein lago. Do something for the dunya if you're not doing for your deen. Then at least you are still. And he taught me one thing. Allah give him jannat. He's always taught me, be productive. Be productive. Never be stagnant. Never be stagnated. Be productive for the deen and dunya. And that's something that we need to teach our children. Don't just give the person money, give the children money, money, money. No, they must also learn how they must earn their own money. When it's your money, they'll just spend. Because the father's money getting spent, they don't make qadar, never sweat for it. But when they own money, you must see how hard it is to take out from the pocket. It won't come out easy because he worked for it, he knows what's the value. So he'll only make qadar if he goes and he earns his own money. Then he'll make qadar of what he's earned. So you must let him work. So then let him earn. Don't give too much on the plate. Samaibaji, because then they become lazy. And it comes in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there will be a time when the rich will get poor and the poor gets rich. So my ustad, he explained this very beautifully to us. He says people from children from rich families, they left a lot of wealth. So those children are not cared about money.
So their job is just to spend money, what their fathers have left. So they keep on spending, they go to university, they don't go and study properly, they fail most of the courses, they never in there in the lectures, nothing. And in today's time, khair is a different topic, but the bottom line is they don't get proper education. And they just come out, drop out, and then they say, we got our father's estate. Now they keep on spending. Eventually the time will come when the money is going to get depleted. They start losing everything. And then you get poor people. Their children, they understand what their fathers had to endure and mothers had to endure to send them and get an education. They understand that. What my father done for me, what my mother done, how many jobs they had to go through. They deprived themselves of good things and luxuries so that we could get an education. I can't let my parents down. I have to work hard. I have to bring my family up. I have to bring their living standard better. I have to pay them back in some way. So those people, those children from poor families, they start working hard. And then they advance in life because they're driven. So they start going up. The poor people's children start getting rich, and then the rich people start getting poor. That's exactly what is happening. So many places happen like that. Because why? From young age, the children, we never train them properly. So Hazrat is saying, Ya to deen ke kaam mein lago, samajh mein aayi baat? That you must have put your children, deen ke kaam mein, put them in the work of deen. If you're doing that, if you can't do that, then dunya mein lago. Then do something. But don't sit and be not productive. You must be productive in life. Going forward all the time. In your deen also you're going forward. In your akhirat also you are going forward. And then he says, when you are productive, then that saves you also from so much of sin. Because you don't have time for ghibat. You don't have time to waste after Isha and have halqas of ghibat and all that. You got no time for that. Say, I've got to get up, I got a class to teach in the morning after Fajr. I have to make mutala before to teach them. Otherwise, what I'm going to see to teach them? I won't be able to teach them properly. I have to see my kutub at night. I have to get there. I don't have time for you. So I got 3 minutes. What you want to say? Let's spend the 3 minutes together and then we go on. You go your way, I go my way. I'm busy, you busy. We all busy. Some people tell yourself, we never meet you. I say, yeah, it's correct. We don't meet. Because I'm busy in my dunya, you busy in your dunya. Somebody, how are we going to meet? On which basis are we going to meet? So you busy, I'm busy. Yes, maybe some function or something. Then we will meet one another. Otherwise, I don't have the time to meet you and you don't have the time to meet me. We may be living 2 streets away also. It happens like that. But that is now used. Allah Ta'ala saves you from so much of masiyat and sin because your life is so active. You don't have free time to wait. You don't have time to give anybody. You're busy. Your deen, your dunya. You're active. So that's a very important point. And then he says, كَمَا يَسْتَحِبُّ مُلَّا عَلِقَارِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ said. كَمَا يَسْتَحِبُّ الذِّكْرِ يَسْتَحِبُّ الْجُلُوسِ لِلذِّكْرِ Just like how to make zikr is mustahab, to sit in the gatherings of zikr also, it is mustahab. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Hazrat, he gave this poem and he says, Aw beto, is Khaja Sahib's poem, Aw beto markaze anwar ki baate karein. Come and sit in the markaz of Anwar, of Noor. Noor barsate. When you make zikr, then Allah's Noor descends. Allah Ta'ala says, Dildar ki baate karein. Let's make our talk to Allah Ta'ala, whisper in our hearts to our beloved. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. Allah Ta'ala's zikr is most high. So Allah Ta'ala accept this profound nasihat of the Ahlullah. Very, very important nasihat. Guidelines to how we should live our life correctly. Say, but don't throw the dunya away also, but channel it correctly and stay within the sharia, the hudud, and bring our children also on deen. We become practical on deen. Say, Allah Ta'ala make us from the salihin. Say, make us that person whose tongue is wet. Give us the tongue, lisan, dhakir, waqalbun, shakir. The tongue that is moist to the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, a heart that is grateful to Allah, and a wife that looks after our properties when we go on, and herself and chastity also. That's also a great ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me tawfiq of islah. Give all of us tawfiq of islah. Allah ta'ala, amal ki tawfiq ata farmai. Wa akhiru ta'wana anil hamdulillah.